We're all together here this morning to worship God. I want to point out something from the gospel reading today, which is this. This is the idea. When God leaves something out of your life, he is preparing to fill it up in ways that you could not imagine. Feels like he left it out, but something more is happening. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of something that happened to me just a couple of years ago. As you know, Carol and I were in Pennsylvania for a number of years, and we were there leading St. Mary's Episcopal Church. And we had been there, we were in that church for 24 years. And so it had its ups and downs, as you can imagine, a series of seasons of really going well and seasons of lack or conflict or whatever. And of course, in the seasons of conflict, people would leave. As you can imagine, you know, as people do that in a church, they leave, not always pretty, you know, it can be tough. And that had happened in a few times, and then we left and moved on, went to Phoenix, and then we came here, and here we are. And a couple of years ago, one of the people who was a child at that time, when we were there at St. Mary's, called and asked if I would do their wedding. I was very honored by that, and of course I did. I went and presided at the wedding, and there was a lot of people there from St. Mary's who we knew from before. And a lot of our peers and friends and so forth were there, and their children who are now grown up and getting on in their own lives. And some of the people who we had been in conflict with were there. And of course, they were very nice and open, and things had passed, and we all moved on, and it was good to see each other. And there were two things that I noticed in that wedding, in that encounter. One was this. I should mention this first. When we left St. Mary's, that was very difficult for us, and we grieved a lot. Even though it was our choice to go, we grieved a lot. We grieved about what had happened before. Plus, we grieved about what was not going to happen that we had hoped would happen, that we wanted to see. So here we are then at this wedding, and I noticed two things that gave me a lot of encouragement. One was this. Some people who had left and just we lost track of, didn't know what was going on, they had actually continued on in some form of ministry or another, and each of them came up to me and told me how that had started at St. Mary's in the ministry there. Doing all kinds of things. Some had started a network of house churches. And actually, just recently, someone who was not at that wedding, actually two people that sent me things. They're in my inbox right now. One woman has put together an entire weekend workshop on healing that she is presenting through a professional organization of counselors that she's in now, and wants me to look at it and tell her what I think. What do you think? Should I tell her it's very good? Maybe. Right? Yeah. Beautiful. Go with it. Yeah. And somebody else sent me something. He started a ministry of mentoring leaders of overseas missions. And he has a workshop that he's put together and launched a new way of doing that. He sent it to me and said, I'd love to know what you think. Okay, that'll be another one, A+, you know, go for it. And then the thing that really struck me at this wedding was our friend's children, who are now in their 20s. Each of them came up to me and very respectfully said, hello, it's great to see you. How are you doing? Things like that. And while that was very gratifying, what it told me was there was no negative talk at home when they were younger. You know, this was reaching back about 12 years. No negative talk at home when they were younger about St. Mary's or us or the work. They still held it in esteem and respect. And that which I thought God was letting go, he was filling up in a way that I had not imagined. That's what we see Jesus up to here in the synagogue in Nazareth, his home synagogue. See, what God is in the business of doing is restoring, redeeming, building up, releasing into more than we are able to ask or imagine. Now, you're kind of wondering, okay, how do we see Jesus doing that here? And so let me point that out. As you can see, he goes to Nazareth. Now, the thing about Nazareth is this. Nazareth was not the oldest city in Israel. It was, compared to other cities, it was fairly young, even though it's, you know, hundreds of years old and all by this time. But that's where Jesus was raised. The purpose of Nazareth, because Nazareth was in Galilee, which is a Gentile area of that region. Nazareth was to be a Jewish enclave. And if Jews, particularly the priests, were being persecuted in other areas of Israel, they could run to Nazareth and be safe. And it was a Jews' center of Judaism. I mean, you couldn't get more Jewish than Nazareth, except everywhere else in Israel thought, Nazareth, what good can come out of there? But there they are. And here's the people of Nazareth who had a certain lifestyle. They're listening to Jesus. Their lifestyle, for example, was this. The men in the evening entertainment was to gather around and talk about the finer points of the law of Moses. I mean, there was no Netflix or anything like that, so what else would they do? That explains, and to some degree, why when Jesus was 12 in the temple, he could just outmaneuver these other people who were in charge of the temple with the points of the law. He was raised with that. They did, so that, I mean, that's part of what was going on. So here's Jesus, and he's talking to the people of Nazareth. Now, one of the things that the people of Nazareth, having been steeped in the law of Moses, having to be part of their lifestyle and culture, they thought that Nazareth would be the place where the Jews would be vindicated and the vengeance of God would be visited on the enemies of Israel, particularly the Roman Empire at that time. And Jesus gets up and reads this section of Isaiah, and they're all very excited. They're thinking, this is great. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And they know what's coming. They know what they're going to hear. And they're just kind of beside themselves. This is so wonderful. And he gets to, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. I mean, they're probably like, the wife is reaching across to the husband. Hey, here he comes. To let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he shuts the book. Now, if we were looking at this in the prophet Isaiah instead of in the Gospel of Luke, this sentence would have gone on. And what it would have gone on, it would have read this way. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And the people of Nazareth wanted the day of vengeance of our God upon Rome and the enemies of Israel. That's why Nazareth was set up. For Jews to be safe and for a place for that to happen, or at least to see it happen from there. And Jesus left it out. Now, he knew better than that. He knew he was going to be in a lot of trouble for that. And in fact, next week, we're going to see that they were so angry with him for leaving that out, they wanted to actually physically kill him. But that's next week. We're going to look at that next week. Right there. Now, I don't want anybody getting any ideas, all right? Well, why would he do that? Because he had come to establish a kingdom which was beyond the kingdom of Israel. It was the kingdom of God, and he was wanting to set that up. In fact, what Jesus wanted was not so much the day of vengeance upon the Gentiles, but the day when the Gentiles will call his God and Father their Lord. When they are redeemed, restored, put into the right place into the kingdom of God, and fulfilled in every way the reason that they were created because of the mercy and love and power of God. That's what Jesus wanted. So he left out that day of vengeance of our God so that he could point to the fulfillment of the kingdom. Now, we'll see how they didn't quite get that next week. But for you and me, there's something that we can catch from this. We can grasp something of that for our own lives. Because you may feel that there's something in your life that God's left out. You know, when we left St. Mary's, I'm thinking, you know, all that stuff that we wanted to see still to happen in the ministry, I guess God left that out. But He didn't. He fulfilled it in ways I never imagined. There may be something in your life like that, where you're thinking, well, what's God doing by not doing anything about that? Maybe it's something you've prayed for a long time. Maybe it's something that you figure, well, if God is the God who He says He is, then why isn't this happening in my own life or my own family or whatever it may be? That it feels empty. And that can be quite a discouraging feeling. Maybe you thought you'd be in a place now that you're not. You're not even close to it. And you're wondering, why did God leave that out? Why didn't God read the whole sentence over my life? And what was true for Nazareth, what the truth that Jesus proclaimed there in that synagogue, is true for you and me today. The part that we think He's leaving out is the part He wants to fulfill in a way that is beyond our imagination. The part that we desire the most is a part that He actually desires more than we do. And He wants to fulfill that in a manner that is beyond what we are able to ask. Excuse me. Now, I think there is a way to grasp that. There's a way to get a hold of that. And oftentimes it'll take a while. And the reason it takes a while is this. The promises of God that attract us to ask Him for something in the first place are usually bigger than the capacity of our soul to receive them. So the time in between we start asking for them and the time we start receiving those promises is the time when our soul is being increased. The capacity of our soul is being made larger so that the promise as God has spoken it can start flowing into our lives. The Bible has a word for that period. The wilderness. That's what it is. And it's in the wilderness that Israel's soul was increased so that they could receive the promised land. They could do all that God wanted in the promised land. That will happen with us as well. One of the ways through that wilderness, and we each have one, maybe some of you have several. But the way we go through that wilderness is by the practices that Jesus would have us do. It calls for us to exchange programs that we think will fulfill what we need with the practices of the life of Jesus beginning to form our lives. The transformation that we want to see, the results that we look for in the kingdom come from actually taking up the practices more and more and more. So practices such as daily prayer, or looking at the scriptures, or regular fellowship, or like we're doing now, regular worship, coming to the table of the Lord. All that, when we take those on as our lifestyle, what happens is we enter more deeply into the wilderness sometimes, and in that process of taking up those practices, the capacity of our soul is increased. And there's a place for the promise of God to come. A place where it can be held. Where that seed can be planted. And the fruit that comes of it later is tremendously. It's amazing what can happen. Because God has left out the sentence as we wanted it to be so that He can fulfill everything that He wants to have. Now there are practices that Jesus did that we can take on all the time. They can become part of our lifestyle. And it is very different from just adding on a program so that we have some self-improvement. The practices are so that we actually become more and more like Jesus. which is what the scripture promises, that we will be transformed into his likeness. So maybe you have a practice of daily prayer right now. And what I would suggest is that in that daily prayer time, you might go to God and say, you know, this is a wonderful practice, and I know Jesus did it. Is there anything you would like to see added to this daily prayer practice? And you just wait and see what comes to mind. I mean, if you're talking to God about how to increase your prayer life, Satan's not going to come and give you a suggestion about how to make your prayer life better. The Spirit of God's going to do that. So you just wait on that. And it'll probably be a small step, but you take that small step and see how it goes. And see what happens to you. And see how your life becomes enriched. And you become a little more like Jesus along the way. That practice prepares your soul to receive that promise that is yet to come, that you thought God might have just left out. But it'll come in a way that you hadn't imagined. You know, as Paul says, glory to him who gives us more than we can ask or imagine. He'll leave out what we can imagine so he can give us that part that we cannot imagine. And we become more like him. Now, you might have some other practices that you're really going along with well, and you might do the same thing. You might ask God, you know, this practice is going really well. Is there something you want to do to add to this or change it in some way so that I get more of what you desire for me to have? And see if you can go with that. Maybe there's something he wants to see you take up in preparation for coming on Sunday morning so that when you come to the table, you're receiving things you have yet to imagine when you do that. Or maybe there's a practice you haven't taken up at all, but it's crossed your mind. And so you might ask God, you know that practice that you keep putting on my mind? How do you want me to take the first step into that? Just one step. God knows we're made of dust. He's not going to give you something for you to continually fail at. He'll give you what will transform you into the likeness of Jesus. All right. Let me end with a slightly different question today. Can you do that? Thank you. Okay, good. You had me going there for a second. Can you do that this week? Okay, great. This side's a little stronger than that side of the room. That's okay. You can come back and keep doing it. Take the step. Take that step. What practice do you want me to deepen, and how do you want that to go? It opens the door to that which is more than you can ask or imagine. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for drawing us together today. We thank you for all that you're doing among us, and we ask that you would take us another step into the lifestyle of Jesus so that our souls will be expanded to receive more than we can ask or imagine, even today here at this table, all for the glory of your name. Amen.